Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render all your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the mighty name of Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our teaching on the subject, disobedience. Understanding disobedience and its consequences. Once again, disobedience, understanding disobedience and its consequences. So if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. And we're going to read the verse that we've been using for our foundational scripture on this teaching. So, Proverbs 22, verse number 6. And I'll be reading from the Amplified Study Bible. So if there are some words that are different from your Bible, please don't be alarmed. We're going to get to the same place at the same time. I guarantee you that. So Proverbs 22, verse 6. And it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, teaching him to seek God's wisdom and will for his abilities and talents. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. So the verse tells to train up a child. And that word train in the Greek simply means to make one to do. To make one to do. So we are to construct, to establish, design, and shape our children in God's wisdom and love, that when they are older, they will not depart from it. Amen. Now, because we know by the word of God that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. So proper training begins at a young age, will keep him from departing from God's word. Amen. You must start training your child as an infant. You can't wait till he's 16, 17, 18 years old and expect him to be receptive to the things that you might want to train him. You have to start when he's a child. This teaching on disobedience, understanding disobedience and its consequences, is for the body of Christ, because we are many Christians that have strayed from the commandments of God through disobedience. This teaching is basically primarily for the body of Christ. Now, the world can hear it, and I pray that they receive it, but this is basically for the Christian. My question is, why have Christians gone astray? Why are they been disobedient to the commandments of God? Please go to the book of John, chapter 10. The book of John, chapter 10. And we're going to read the second portion, or 10b. And this is Jesus speaking. And it says, I have come that they may have life and enjoy life, and they may have it in abundance to the full till it's overflowing. So Jesus tells us that he has come that we will have the abundant life, that our life should be full of abundance to the fullness, and it should be overflowing with his love and with his grace and with his mercy. Amen. Now, if Jesus tells us he came that we might have life and enjoy life and have it in abundance until it overflows, then why are Christians disobedient to his commands? What is the problem with the body of Christ that we cannot follow instructions? Is it proper training? Could be. If it's just being disobedient and foolishness? Could be. I am only addressing the Christian family, not the world. The world is going to do what they do because they are children of Satan, the god of this age. I believe this subject is so important for the body of Christ because there is a deterioration within the body of Christ, whereas things were once in good condition, but is now weakening and in decline. Amen. It is weakening and in decline. You can't tell the church from the world now. There are many divorces, all kind of other nonsense that's going on. We reflect the world. Our children are out of order with their parents. I mean, it's just completely out of balance. So there has to be a reason why the church is disobedience. There is always a cause and an effect for every action. And we as the body of Christ should understand this. We should understand there's a cause and effect. The Spirit of God, I believe, gave me this message for us to get our house in order. Amen. Judgment must begin at the house of God. To understand that disobedience is not going to be tolerated within the body of Christ. Now that the world does is on them, it's on them. They can do whatever they want. But within the body of Christ, it is on us. Judgment must begin within the house of the Lord. But the question might be asked, what is disobedience? Simple. Disobedience is rebellion against recognized authority. It is rebellion against recognized authority. Authority that has been established by the Word of God. Amen. Now let's look at a form of authority God gave mankind. And then we're going to look at mankind's disobedience to that authority before we go into where we left off from last week's teaching. So please go with me to the book of Genesis chapter 2. Again, that's Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 16 and 17. And it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may freely, unconditionally eat the fruit from every tree of the garden, but only from the tree of the knowledge, recognition of good and evil, you shall not eat. Otherwise, on the day that you eat of it, you most surely will die because of your disobedience." So we see here, God gave man a commandment. And he told man, you can freely eat of everything, every tree of the garden. I mean, he had his pick of the litter. But he said of the one tree, he shall not eat. For in the day that you do, you shall surely die. Now here we have an example of recognized authority. This was the authority that God gave man and was given to him by God himself. Given him the authority to eat of all the trees in the garden except the one. And that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was recognized authority. Now, let's look at an example of rebellion against recognized authority. Of rebellion against recognized authority. So you're still in Genesis. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 6 and 7. And it says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was delightful to look at, a tree to be desired in order to make one wise and insightful, she took of the fruit and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of the two of them were open. That is, their awareness increased. And they knew that they were naked, and they fastened fig leaves together and made themselves covering." So we see here, first verse that we read in Genesis 2, 16 and 17, we see God gave man a commandment. He gave him recognized authority, authority to eat of all the trees of the garden. And he also gave him the authority or the caution not to eat of a certain tree. He says, for when he does, he will surely die. And then we see right after that, where he and Eve, they didn't care. They became disobedient to the authority. It was rebellion against recognized authority. Because it tells us that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was delightful to look at, and a tree to be desired in order to make one wise and insightful, she took of the fruit and she ate. And she gave some to her husband, and he ate. So that was rebellion against recognized authority right there in the Garden of Eden. Two people God created in his image and likeness. They were spiritually and morally innocent, but yet they were disobedient to the recognized authority of God. Amen. So we all have been disobedient in some form or the other. But our goal is the consistently obedience to the Word of God by making the right decisions that line up with the Word of God. We want our decisions that we make to line up with the Word of God. In other words, we want the things that we say line up with what God say. What we do lines up with what God does. And what we see lines up with what God sees. And the results God gets are the same results we should get. Amen? Because we understand. We want to line up. We want to be obedient to the things that God has given us. Amen? So we can stand before Him and hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Amen? We all have been disobedient. Yes, we have. We all have been. But that doesn't mean we have to continue to be that way. Amen? That's why the scripture says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And see, when you start training your children up at a young age, then that it becomes natural to them. And so when they get older, somebody tells them something, they say, "Well, I wasn't trained that way, so I'm not going that way." You know, the scripture tells us in Proverbs, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death." It says there is a way. But Jesus tells us, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He says he's the way. There is no other way. So we have to go by the authority that Christ has given to us. The way, the truth, and the life. That's what he is. And we can't go for this nonsense, this deception that Satan likes to put out there. Because it's nothing but a deception. It's his trickery, and we have to understand that. Now, let's continue with our teaching from last week. So turn to the book of John, chapter 10. John, chapter 10. And we're going to read just the first portion of that verse. So John, chapter 10:8. Again, this is Jesus speaking. And it says, "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy." Again, it says the thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and to destroy. So the thief is another synonym or another name for Satan. And it says he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And when we are disobedient to the Word of God, in comes thievery, in comes killing, and in comes destroying. And so we have to understand Satan's games. We are not stupid to his devices. We are continuing our teaching on what causes the Christian believer to be disobedient. Now, we have already discussed free will, which is a privilege given by God for us to make our own decisions and determine that sometimes those decisions can be wrong choices, which can cause rebellion. Now, please turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6. Again, 1 Timothy, chapter 6. We want to know, what causes the Christian? God has given us everything. He says, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." So why do we want to be disobedient? To get out of line with God's word, that we might go down a path that is destruction and could kill you. Why do we want to do that? Why do we consistently do it? Man, it's something that I just don't understand. It's hard to fathom, but I do know because we have a person out there that's always trying to convince us there is another way. And we're going to look at that in a few minutes. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 12. And it simply says, "Fight the good fight of the faith in the conflict with evil." It says, "Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you have made the good confession of faith in the presence of many witnesses. Amen. It says, fight the good fight of faith in the conflict of evil. It says, therefore, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you make the good confession of faith in the presence of many witnesses. As I have said before, we are in a fight. We are in a fight. But this is not a physical fight, but it is a faith fight. It is a fight for your faith. Satan is after your faith. And if he can convince you to succumb to his thoughts, ideas, or suggestions, he will continue until he eventually destroys you. See, what he wants to do is wear you down. He wants to wear you down. He wants to make like you in a race, you know, in a mile race, and you're running, and sometimes you get to that 880-yard part in the mile, and you get a little tired, or that marathon that you're running, and you get in the 13 mile, the 26 mile, and you get a little tired. Well, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to wear you down. But no, he's not going to wear you down, because we're not stupid of his devices. We know what he's trying to do. Amen. As I said before, we're in a fight. It's not a physical fight, but it's a faith fight. The next reason believers, born again Christians, are disobedient is because they do not recognize they have an adversary. Yes, we have an adversary. When you're in a fight, you have an opponent. And our opponent, better yet, is an adversary, and he's the devil. Please go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to read verse number 12. And it says, for our struggle is not flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. So we do not fight against flesh and blood, because that our enemies are not human, but demonic. Yeah, our opponents are not human. They are demonic. The Bible calls the devil or Satan the prince of this world, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the prince who is not at work in those who are disobedient, the god of this age, and the accuser of the brethren. Amen. This is our true enemy. It is Satan. This means that Christians' life is not primarily a battle against other people, whether they are political leaders, co-workers, difficult neighbors, family members, or even those who openly oppose Christianity. Those are not our enemies. Amen. And we have to understand that. We are in a faith fight. This is not a physical confrontation. The Apostle Paul identifies and calls them as following rulers, which are high-ranking spiritual forces opposed to God. Those are the rulers. Those are the high-ranking spiritual forces opposed to God. They operate in the spirit realm. Then we have authorities, which are evil powers that exert control and influence in the world. Then we have the powers of this dark world. These are demonic influences that work in earthly systems, cultures, and governments. That's what the powers of this darkness, of this dark world is. They're demonic forces that operate in earthly systems, cultures, and governments. And then we have spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. These are the unseen spiritual forces that operate beyond what we can see. That's why the scripture says, "For we do not look at the things which are seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things that we don't see are eternal." Behind many of the conflicts, temptations, and struggles in life, there's a deeper spiritual reality. The devil and his forces work to spread lies, promote sin, and oppose the kingdom of God. However, the body of Christ, Christians, are not to let defenseless God provides us with spiritual armor and strength to stand firm. Well, I'm just about out of time, but please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." God bless you. See you next week.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.